Does anyone know what Voice of Martyrs is? Is anyone familiar with that? For those of you who aren't, it's an organization who does stories and sends help to our Christian brothers and sisters overseas and talks about persecutions and things like that. And I got an article, I don't know if it was on Facebook, or we get a magazine every month that talks about prayer requests and persecution, things like that. But it was about a guy in Pakistan who was a believer in Christ, and he was beaten. His business was burned to the ground. His family was displaced. I can't remember if he died or not, but the prayer was that we would pray for our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, that the predominantly Islamic state would be able to know Christ. And, you know, I think about the freedoms that we have, that we're born into, that we just get by being citizens, and not every country has that. But I do know that this man, because he's a Christian, he's free in Jesus Christ. And the question I have for you tonight is, though we have these freedoms, are you truly free? We're going to be in John chapter 8 tonight, and I was joking with Phil Marlowe. If you guys are here on Sunday, I told him that he inspired me. He was preaching, I don't know how many verses you read, 20, 30 verses, and he said something about, oh, I bet you guys would wish I just preached 3. And everyone, I think that might have been the loudest amen of the day, I don't know. But though I'm not preaching 3, we got 6 to get through. And we're going to look at what Jesus has to say about truth and what Jesus has to say about freedom. So John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36 is where we're going to be. So I will be reading out of the CSB version tonight for those on the phone that want to follow along. But John chapter 8, verse 31 says this: Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say we will become free? Verse 34 says, Jesus responded, Truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we just ask that you bless your word, that as we commit these next few moments to you, God, that your Holy Spirit would reign in this place and take over the lives of us, Lord, that we might be convicted or we might be encouraged through this, Lord, as many of us are believers in Christ, God. And I pray that your will be done here tonight. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So the rest of verse 8 is Jesus talking 30 and before, Jesus talking to Pharisees about a few things. And he says in verse 28, So Jesus said to them, When you lift the Son of Man up, you will know that I am he. And that I do nothing on my own, but just as the Father taught me, I say these things. The one who sent me is with me and has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him. And so we get to this point where there's these Pharisees and scribes who are persecuting Jesus. And he gets to this point, he says, Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed, in verse 31, If you continue in my word, you really are disciples. So, just a side note here, you can believe. There's a lot of people who believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people who believe in God. Jesus says here, if you continue in my word, some translations say, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples. And it is in his word only, that we will find his truth. His truth. He goes on in verse 32 to say, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do we know his truth? Well, he just told us in verse 31 that if we continue, if we abide in his word, we will know these things. I think the problem is a lot of us don't always abide. We don't continue in his word. And as Christians, I want to encourage you tonight that you ought to. You ought to know what Jesus wants for you. You ought to know what his word says. You ought to know how to respond to situations. And if we want a great guideline for how to do it, we find it in the truth of his word. But he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, truth today is pretty subjective, isn't it? You talk to anybody in the workplace, at the grocery store, even within your family. What's true to me might not be true for somebody else. And what's true for them might not be true for me. But I think we can agree here tonight that just because we don't believe something is true doesn't mean it's not true. God's word is telling us that here tonight. But there are two things to note here in verse 32. The first thing to note is there is such a thing as the truth. The truth. He doesn't say you will know a truth and a truth will set you free. Jesus says you will know the truth. Now, the truth is the absolute standard by which reality is measured. That is the definition for truth. The absolute standard by which reality is measured. Truth is not a feeling. You can't say, well, this is true because it feels right to me. This is true because it feels good to me. I feel that this is the truth. Because what if I don't feel that way? So what are we using to be the standard for which we're basing our truth in? Well, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're a Christian, you'll know that it's God's word, and it's only God's word. Truth is not a feeling. It's also not an experience. Truth is not an experience. If I experience something in the same circumstances, perhaps somebody else, we might have two different experiences that differ in the outcome. So what was true for their outcome might not be true for my outcome. So the experience there, we can't say that truth is an experience. And we also can't say that truth is a desire. We can't say, well, I really want this to be true. I really hope that this is true. I really wish that this would be true. We don't get the ability to say that. But what truth is God's viewpoint on every matter, in every situation, in every circumstance, based on what His Word says. Amen? That is the truth. That is the truth that we ought to follow. When I talk to people about why I believe what the Bible believes, they say, well, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter. It's still the truth. If I told you that 2 + 2 = 4 and you said, no, it doesn't, and I said, well, you're wrong. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it isn't true. So God's word is the standard by which we are basing our reality in. And you say, well, then what is the truth then? Well, didn't Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 6, that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me? So if Jesus is saying that He is the truth, because He is, then we can deduce here that everything that Jesus says, i.e. the Bible, is the truth. Are you guys with me? I'm a little tired tonight. I'm like, y'all picking up what I'm putting down? You with me? Okay. So it is the truth. It is the truth. God's word is the truth. The second thing we see in this verse 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth in itself alone doesn't set you free. It is the knowledge and the understanding of the truth that sets you free. The knowledge and the understanding of the truth that sets you free. I don't want to, I'm just going to say it. Juneteenth that many people celebrate. I don't know if we all understand exactly what that was, but slavery was abolished in 1863. In Galveston, Texas, in 1865, there were still slaves that were there. The American soldiers went and told them that, hey, you guys are free. You guys are good to go. Though it happened 2 years ago, the abolition of slavery happened 2 years ago, they didn't know it. So the truth itself didn't set them free. It was the knowledge of the truth that set those 250,000 slaves in Galveston, Texas, in the state of Texas. That's what set them free. So it's not the truth alone. It's the knowledge and the acceptance of the truth. And Jesus, when He said that, He confused the mess out of these Jewish people. He said, what are you talking about? He said in verse 33, the people who believed in Jesus said, we are the descendants of Abraham, they answered Him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say that you will become free? These Jewish people said, Jesus, don't you know who we are? Don't you know who my daddy was? Don't you know that Abraham is my father? We ain't never been enslaved to anybody. How are you going to tell me that you're the one who sets me free when I ain't never been in bondage before in my life? My whole bloodline's never been in bondage. You see, they were basing their spiritual condition on their physical bloodline. They were saying, I have never been in bondage. I have never been a slave. I have never done anything to keep me in chains or been in chains in my life. And we do that too, don't we? As American Christians, as Americans in general, we say, oh no, we're free. We're free. We're born free. We have all these rights that we have. We're owed these things for being a citizen of the United States of America. I ain't never been in chains before. I ain't never been a slave before. I ain't never been in bondage before. And we say, well, because we're Christian, because we're Americans, we automatically think that we're good and that we're free, which we are from the world's perspective. But what about a spiritual perspective? What about a spiritual perspective? And just another side note, I've heard many people say, you know, I go to church. I know Jesus. He tells us here in verse 31, the Jews who believed in him. And if you read the rest of the verses, you'll notice that they didn't quite like him. They believed him, but they were not willing to follow in his word. They were not willing to do it. So they believed him. I believe in God. You say, Phil, we have in God we trust on our money. What more do we need to do? We're free. What more do we need to do? You see, Americans, we have we understand that as we come to celebrate, I don't know what year it is, 248 years of America tomorrow. We say in 1776, man, that's when we were free. That's when we were free. We got out of the British rule and now we're free. 1865 is when slavery ended. We're free. How can you say that you're in chains? How can you say that we're not? Well, based on spirituality here and what Jesus is saying, yeah, I'm born an American. I'm free. I have the same rights as all of you. But it wasn't until September 9th, 2012 that I actually became free in Christ. That when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, that I was delivered from my sin, that I no longer had to worry about my eternal destination, that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about physical chains and bondage. He's not talking about historical slavery. He's not talking about anything. He's talking about how's the spirit? How's spiritual things in your life? And so they're questioning him. How can you say you will set us free? And Jesus responds in verse 34. He says, truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So is there anybody here that is exempt from that? Show of hands. Yeah, me neither. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. What's the Bible say? All have fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody, every single one of us in here has a sin nature that we're born into. Every single one of us has sin that keeps us separated from God. It's not until we put our faith and trust in Jesus that we have that reconciliation, that we have the Holy Spirit take up residency in us, that we can start fighting these sins. Not just fighting these sins, but we actually notice and realize that, oh, this is a sin. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to change my life. And so Jesus corrects them. He's saying, if you've sinned, you are a slave. And the reality of the fact of the matter is at one point in our lives, we've all been slaves to sin. At one point in our lives, we have done things outside of the will of God. At one point in our lives, maybe it's still happening, we have turned our back on God and did things our way. Our way leads to a path of destruction. Our way outside of God leads to hell. Our way doesn't get us very far in the end. And what he says here, and he's trying to correct their thoughts, he says here, I truly tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. And he says in verse 35, and since everyone who commits sin is a slave to it, he has this nice little visual here. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. Jesus says, slaves, you're not going to be with me forever. Those who are building their life on a mountain of sin, those who have not repented of that sin, those who don't seek godly things, those who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, those who don't want anything to do with the Word of God, those who don't have anything to do with Jesus, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, those who don't have salvation, this is who he's talking about. He says, the slaves, you will not be in my house forever. You see, the thing about slavery, I'm not going to give you guys a history lesson, but I think everybody knows what happened to slavery. They were bought, sold, trade, moved on. They were here for a day, gone the next. Outside of Christ, we are living that lifestyle. Outside of Christ, we're gambling with our eternity. Outside of Christ, we're doing what we want to do, what feels right. And our truth is rooted in our emotion, and our truth is rooted in anything that feels good or looks good or seems like it's good. But as a believer, our truth is the Word of God, what God says about everything in our life. But he doesn't stop there. There's good news to that in verse 35. He says, but a son does remain forever. There's a difference in a slave and in a son. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, and all who received him had the right to be called children of God. Had the right to be called children of God. They went from slave to son, slave to child, slave to having having a temporary residency to a permanent residency with Jesus, with God the Father in heaven. And that should be exciting. If you've been moved out of the bucket of slave to the bucket of child of God, that ought to excite some of us. That ought to make us, well, I don't know a better word for it. That ought to make us excited and want to tell the world about Jesus Christ and what he's done for our lives. We ought to be more excited about the freedom that we have in Christ than watching fireworks tomorrow. We ought to be more excited about what God is doing in our lives each and every day than anything else. Because when we know that we were a slave to sin, and God has pulled us out of that, put us on the solid rock, and now we're following him, and now we're called a child of the Most High God. That is awesome, and only God can do that. And what he says in verse 36, he just seals the deal. Just seals the deal. He says, so if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. He says, if I set you free, if I tell you that you are free, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he says it right here in verse 36, if he sets us free, we are truly free. There's no strings attached. There's no, well, you're going to lose it. There's nothing. He says, if I have set you free, you really will be free. The 4th of July is fun. It's exciting. It keeps us reminded about where this country has come from and where we're at now. But it is nothing like being free in Christ. The freedom that we have as Americans is nothing like what it means to be free in Christ. You know, I was thinking about that man in Pakistan who lost his life or was beaten, and not just him, but all the other brothers and sisters who were over there getting persecuted daily. And I'd argue that the freedom that they understand that they have in Christ is almost better than what we have here. Actually, I would be for sure that freedom in Christ is better than what we have here. And the people, and though they're being persecuted, though they're being beaten, though they're being killed, the end of that little story says And the thing that I got says, but their family, wife and kids, were still going around sharing the gospel. When you have that freedom in Jesus Christ, regardless of circumstance, regardless of what can happen, regardless of how persecuted or not free you are, when you have that understanding that, hey, you're free in Christ, you have the power to do what only He can allow you to do. So as we celebrate tomorrow our freedom as of our American freedoms, and we light fireworks off and eat hot dogs and watch the hot dog eating contest or whatever you're going to be doing tomorrow, enjoy it. Enjoy being free in America. But also, as tomorrow ends and the 5th of July comes, may we celebrate every day as we are free in Christ. May we celebrate every day and not take for granted that if we are free in Christ, and if the Son sets us free, we are free, and we are free indeed. So let's stand.